Welcome back into Sports Call here on Tiger 93.9 FM. We're streaming online at sportscallauburn.com. JJ Jackson, Tom Peavy, and Ryan Lavoie, all inside our studios here on South College Street. And we're very excited to welcome in a guest to the program. It's Auburn baseball head coach Butch Thompson. Coach, we appreciate the time today. How are things?
Things are great. Baseball camp. Few rain showers, dodging some drops, but War Eagle, glad to be with you.
Yeah, Coach, thanks so much for taking time. As you said, baseball camp today and the weather absolutely kind of crazy this time. I feel like we've gotten these spot showers a good bit this week there in the afternoons, but that just makes things fun. That's baseball.
That's right. That makes you get up and get early. We got a lot of work in before lunch, and just a great crew. You know, so many of the – this is our younger youth camp, I guess is the appropriate term for it, and just getting out and playing baseball, and we had all the way to like 1:30, I guess, before this ominous cloud showed up. And seeing these guys with their World Series t-shirts and hats and showing up at camp is pretty neat. So we've had a great first day of camp.
Coach, we'll get to this year's season, this past season, in just a little bit. But first, did you get a chance to watch the Home Run Derby last night?
I did, and we were in Atlanta. You know, that's the – we want this to be an every – year event to where you get to play so long that you feel a month behind on recruiting. So I wish you could, you know, sit and enjoy your you just can't rest on your laurels. You have to keep pushing the Southeastern Conference, and I think whatever coach you have here in whatever sport would sit here and communicate those same things. So not a lot of rest.
It's quite a show.
I know once we got back from Omaha, I think Gabe Gross was in North Carolina the very next day. So that's just an example, and we really hadn't been able to stop trying to get caught back up and getting our guys in summer school. So we got 11 guys that, you know, will be first-year players for us that are in summer school, and then we got five or six that are staying in training, like the Tanner Burns and the Green Hills, the guys that threw a ton that need a break or are on campus now.
Well, Coach, obviously you were brought in here to get this program to a level that had not been able to get there in a while. What went through your head when that Super Regional ended and you had clinched it? Obviously there was more work to be done, but, I mean, that had to be a huge load off of you and a huge load off this program that we finally got back to where this program should be.
Well, I believed in it or I wouldn't have taken the job, number one. Number two, it's been the vision, including the first year when we're 10 games under 500. That's a vision. You know, I've been there a few times. Been there since 2013, I think, is the last time I've been with the team there. But I've envisioned, I tried to, especially in the slow times when it's not going great and you're getting beat up a little bit. I just continue to try to replace all that with a vision of seeing our uniform, you know, run out on that field at TD Ameritrade Park. So I can't tell you, it's not a blessing like something with one of my three daughters or something great happens for somebody that I care about. But professionally, really seeing Auburn uniform run out there, I'd seen it so many times in my head and had kind of hoped that would be the vision that we would all be able to do together for our fans. I've been working today on writing handwritten notes to every one of our fans that showed up for one of the two games. Our ticket guys, Corbin, was able to provide that for me. And that's important to me, because to see that vision happen, to see that happen for all of our players and our parents, and but to see it for our supporters, the people that that have been rooting for this and no other team for the last 22 years in between College World Series. That's important, I think, for me to say thank you to them. Calling Hal Baird was really neat. I wish I could call Coach Nix, but everybody in between is paid something into this. Tom Slater, I would have never been at Auburn the first time if he hadn't hired me. Steve Renfro, the encouragement that he gives me to keep pushing, you guys can do this. The Auburn family is unique, and I've seen it on full display.
Coach, when you take over a program, obviously you have short-term goals, you have long-term goals, and it's just been evident to see a gradual progression. NCAA regional 2 years ago against Florida State, almost get out of the Supers last year. Of course, this year, make it to Omaha, almost win a game or two. Is this kind of what you envisioned, a slow, steady build towards this moment, or has it been more challenging than you thought, less challenging than you thought? Like, how does it compare to your original expectations?
Every year is so unique. I think what we've done has been, you know, it took Sim Corbin a little while at Vanderbilt. I remember when I first got to Georgia, it took us 3 years to start really getting in the mix. It took us 4 years at Mississippi State. Coach Bohannon over at Alabama, he's heading into his third year and still trying to build, and I know he knows what he's doing. And We have not taken a normal progression, you know, coming in a half of a year and getting on the field for the first time in January, and you're starting the season in 6 weeks with a group of players that wasn't yours was really hard. That's been the toughest year by far, and the obvious hardest year. But we've really started seeing it as a head start. That really gave us 6 months of a head start to start, you know, calculate and figuring out the things that we want to try to do. This was the second hardest year, because you never know what's going to happen in one moment. You know, like the Florida State, one more pitch.
Right.
Or I thought we could have been in Omaha that year. I don't think there's any question about it that it wouldn't have, you wouldn't have had to move mountains for you to be in Omaha last year. And in my crazy brain, I kind of figured us being able to go to Omaha three consecutive years in my crazy mind. This one's been hard. This one's been heartache. This has been tragedy in our community. This has been somebody that sat right next to me every day before we play a game to talk to me. This has been injuries. This has been guys that can really hit, not hitting. And then it all coming together for a postseason for a heck of a run. But in a lot of different ways, this has been a unique year. But it's been a hard one, and probably the second hardest year we've been here. So I feel like we're ahead of schedule a little bit, but nobody cares. You know, now that we're 10 days away or ever how long we've been back for Omaha, all that we have to do is start thinking about what we have to do to maintain a competitiveness and a consistency and keep recruiting and never stop. And when we can't keep running at that highest gear, we need to yield and let another fella come in and lead it.
Well, Coach, you mentioned this right through there, and it happened this year, but it also happened last year. This run and this progression has not been easy. It has not come just, you know, dominating performances every time out. I mean, there, like you said, there's been injuries. Last year, you had key pitchers go down with injuries. This year, you've had key injuries, and you mentioned some guys that, you know, really were solid at the plate last year that struggled big this year. But somehow, you keep these guys going. What is the magic that you seem to have had with these guys to just keep them going on the right track and not giving up when it looks bad?
I would just say trust. I don't think there's anything magic. And
right.
I'd give Steve Smith, Gabe Gross, Carl Nunnemaker a ton of credit. You know, sometimes teams just, they split, they divide, they go away.
Right.
And I just think we got some good men with character that, like, when it's down and when maybe the fans are down on the players and the pitchers get down on the defense, or they get down on the hitters and you just start spreading out, I think we got too many good men that are just spread out around the field that just continue to give a message, never quit on our players, keep encouraging. If there's anything magic, I think it's just real men standing in the gap and not blinking. And hopefully we can be strong enough to keep encouraging each other to continue to do that, because this league's gotten hard in the last 18 years that I've been a part of it in some capacity at some point in the season. And then, you know, I've never made a big deal out of this, but I think everybody pretty much knows, and they forget about it, but having the least amount of scholarships in the Southeastern Conference, one injury affects our play. You know, so if we're at about 13 scholarships and you look at another team that's all the way up to what I believe is about 30 scholarships, they just, the second line, it shifts so much easier for some of these teams that have more allocated funds. When we get banged up, it is noticeable, and we have to hang in there. We can't turn on each other.
Right.
We understand our identity and our setup, and I think that's helped us through some of these challenges.
And, Butch, speaking to the recruiting challenges that you face with your baseball program, another challenge is something, whereas you recruit some of the top high school guys in the country and they might leave in the MLB draft, they get drafted high enough. We saw that already this year. How difficult is weighing the pros and cons? I mean, I guess you always want the best baseball player possible, but knowing in the back of your mind, we might have to have something else ready to go here because player X or Y might go on to the major leagues.
Yeah, we have to continue to go for it, because if we been fortunate enough to get, you know, a couple of guys, you know, Tanner Byrne comes to mind, and again, I tip my hat to our ball club of finding a way to Omaha, and Tanner Byrne can throw two innings a week. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But it's just figuring things out. We have to go for that type of player because Texas A&M probably getting one of those guys to campus. Vanderbilt's probably getting three or four of those guys to campus. I could just replace any school in our league and they're getting those kind of guys. So if we shy away from that, now I do understand if you go 0-4, and you got four dandy, you know, rock solid players, and they all sign, and coach could get fired in 2 years. But we have to go for it. We can't just go for the next level player and not be able to line up against the best league in America. So we have to continue to go for it. We have to make good business decisions. Are these people a match for us? Is this family a match for us? Will they walk away from this? Do they understand the potential earning power of an Auburn degree? Do they really, how much do they value the degree? Everybody knows about the league. Everybody knows about, hey, it's good coaches. Hey, the coaching staff at Auburn's had 16 first-rounders on a pitching mound in their career. They got all that. It's really how much they value the Auburn degree, that they all want to be major leaguers. But if we can get somebody to really value a degree, they'll understand the power of coming here for 3 years before they start that journey. Because we want them to be big leaguers, too.
Yeah.
We just want them to come wear orange and blue for a few years before they start acting upon that dream.
Auburn baseball head coach Butch Thompson joining us here on the Tuesday edition of Sports Call here in studio. And we mentioned the draft discussions that are given with the high school players and their recruitment there to Auburn. Coach, we're seeing some news come out today about Edouard Julian signing a deal with the Minnesota Twins. How exciting is that for Edouard? What were the discussions that you had with him?
Well, it was kind of put to rest, you know, about 10 days. It was really active 2 days after Omaha, and then it went away. And both parties had told me that it was over.
Right.
So we were shocked yesterday, because you have to understand, for our standpoint, that we had gotten so many guys back the last couple of years, you know, especially juniors, they sign and leave, and it's just tough,
sure.
You know, because it never changes. I think the deadline's this Friday for all the signing to happen, so they have every right, and we cannot fight the machine, which is Major League Baseball. A college baseball coach is going to lose that battle.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm here for these players. I wouldn't have a job. I wouldn't be sitting here with you. My deal is an investment in our student-athletes. And to grow him and develop him. He's a 34th rounder out of high school. And, you know, that's our job, is to develop them and give them opportunities. So at the end of the day, I got no problem with Edouard Julian, because I know he told, you know, Auburn people he was coming back.
Yeah.
We all believe that to be true. But when they come back and give him what he initially asked for, I totally get it. Could that have been communicated better? Yes. Could they have helped a college program that tries to do the right thing by professional scouts all the time? Yes, they could have helped us.
Sure.
Because we're trying to make decisions on replacing players, helping players that are not getting playing time to come back. But we've been blessed. I really thought Rankin Woolley, Connor Davis, Matt Scheffler, Jack Owen, all these guys would potentially be rolling out. So really, at the end of the day, even with Edouard signing, you got 7 of your 9 position players back next year, and you got 7 of your 8 pitchers that threw the most innings back, and we haven't had that in this first 4 years since I've been here.
All right. So, Coach, we were actually talking about this off the air. So, when's the next trip to Canada? Who's next in line? Who's the next Canadian crusher?
Yeah, I think we got to put out a few tags. So we do have some neat kids coming in, some of these kids coming. We actually have a guy that we're not ready to announce yet, but we got a guy that's going to skip his senior year of high school and join us.
Well, I gotcha.
That'll be our first one of those. So we're breaking that right here on your show. You know, a special talent and a left-handed bat. You know, there's no doubt you're losing something with Edouard Julian. So as a coach, you know, I wake up a little shoulders a little stiff this morning, and figuring it out. But it's going to provide opportunity. You know, Rusty Greer's son, Mason Greer, came here, and he's turned down money this year to come and play. And this is just going to give more of these guys opportunities to play. Brody Moore, that has played around everywhere as a freshman this year. We think we got guys for the first time, probably, that could just fill in all these different needs. But Edouard Julian had 126 RBIs, and that was the most these last 2 years of anybody in the Southeastern Conference. And that's including J.J. Blade. That's including Dillard at Ole Miss and the Mangums or Foskies or whoever you hear about at Mississippi State and around. That's a big bat to replace, but that's part of the business. And that's what makes coaching college baseball, especially at a high level where the draft's in play, we never know. We never know, and Edouard was a sophomore. These things are really hard, and I'm telling you, when you start talking about a fine line, you got a team with us that's 14-16 in the SEC, and you wind up making it to Omaha, and you got three other SEC teams joining you in the field of 8 out there. But the draft can either fall your way or fall against you. And, you know, that's one of those that takes a really good player But he got what he intended to come get when he came to Auburn. So he was so appreciative to me yesterday in communicating, and we root for him. Just, you know, lines of communication, being professional, things of that nature is just, you know, always things that you desire.
Now, just kind of mentioning that recruiting, you have already signed some guys that we can talk about, but who are some of those guys that are going to be the future of this program? I know there's been some junior college guys that are coming in. I've seen some huge arms coming in that are going to take up some give you some time on the mound. So who are some of those guys that you can talk about with us?
You know, I was looking at some of that and wrote some things down because I knew I'd be with you. You know, getting Tanner back for his junior year, getting him healthy.
Right.
That's where it all starts. And I know you want to ask about new guys, but him and Jack Owen, we're going to do something unique. We're going to give Greenhill a chance to be a starter this fall.
Nice.
Now, before you roll into January, we'll hopefully answer the question, because once we get to January, the way we've done it is once we get to January, we kind of lock into what we want to do.
Right.
So
sure.
We're going to take that in the fall. That's three pretty good guys. We think Fuller, you know, he walked too many guys, walked a guy this inning, but he had an opponent's batting average under 200.
Right.
I think Brooks Fuller, he threw five innings last night with five strikeouts and no walks. That was huge for Santa Barbara out in California. If this young man can figure it out, and these freshmen got to play a lot for us,
right,
pitch a lot,
yeah,
it's going to be to their benefit. I think Fuller, somebody from doing this for a long period of time, I think he's ready to bust out. Fitz did get that moment to bust out. The freshman and him and Fuller got thrown in there, and Fitz really hung in there and kept getting better. Really threw some of our best innings the last couple of weeks. If you start going regional, super regional, and the World Series, threw great for us. Bailey Horn come on at the end. His outing against Georgia Tech was lights out, and as good as we've seen. And now hopefully he's healthy, he can do that. Hayden Mullins is one of these guys we're talking about from Nashville, Tennessee, right outside of there. Hayden was last year the number one high school left-handed pitching prospect in America. And missed about half of his senior year, or he wouldn't have been coming to school.
Right.
He'd have been like Gunnar Henderson over here at Selma that, you know, was the first pick of the second draft to get $2.3 million.
Right. Then he's gone.
So he's gone.
He's gone. Can't really blame that. I mean,
but Hayden Mullins, you want these boys to get what they deserve. You don't want injury to – but it got him to school, and he's in summer school, and we think he's one of the best lefties. Drew Baker from Chipola Junior College has joined us. Big arm from over here in Montgomery. So he's played 1 year and went to the Junior College World Series. So we think he's ready to come in and help us. Mason Barnett from Cartersville, Georgia, is our big donkey. That's a big, strong guy. Stress fracture in his back. He was 92 and was looking postured for the draft. And then, you know, he slows down. He's throwing 88, 89 in the playoffs. And he has to take himself out of the last game of the year because his back's hurting, and he keeps filling around with it. And he'd been pitching with a stress fracture this year, so I'm kind of makes me like him more. Kind of makes me feel like there's some toughness and stuff there. Trace Bright, again, from right over here in Montgomery. Jackson Reynolds is a guy that's come into school that was from Opelika High School, I think Auburn to Opelika, and was going to go to Texas A&M, wound up coming back to Shelton State Community College, and he was 8-1 and was basically the best pitcher in Alabama Junior College this year. So I'm telling you, we got Blake Burkhalter from Dothan, Seb Thomas from Marist there in Atlanta. This is a big, big pitching class. And then I think the happiest person is Scheffler, our catcher, that had to catch more pitches this year than anybody in college baseball. Matt Scheffler is the happiest guy because we got two really good high school catchers that are coming in with him, and Nate LaRue from down at the coast, and Ryan Dial, a Georgia catcher, left-handed bat. Nate LaRue turned down a sack load of money, six figures, to be here. So we're excited about these new guys, even though we're headlining and talking about all these returners.
Coach, I wanted to ask you, I know facilities are a constant talking point amongst our fans and callers and just that sort of thing. I just want to hear from you, what is something that you like about Plainsman Park and your current facilities, and then what is something that you feel would help your program take the next step?
The park's timeless to me. I've got three or four of the head coaches in the SEC that when they come here and play, they're like, just the setting. I think from a real estate proposition where we're located on campus, I think it's just one of the best settings that there is. It's a timeless ballpark. Mr. Sanford, under the leadership of Hal Baird at that time, they built a timeless ballpark. I think it's got a Camden Yards. I think it's got a Wrigley feel. I think it's got a Fenway thing that I think people appreciate. It was not a stadium because it was the best stadium in America, voted that way, I think, around 2001 as the number one college baseball facility. And it has stood the test of time. Some of these aluminum tin cans, after about 10 years, you got to junk them and scrap them and redo it. But this is a timeless, beautiful ballpark. I love Plainsman Park. But everything is just out of my hands is my next answer. I'll go anywhere. I'll try to help in any way to keep promoting our program. I don't want Auburn to be second to none to anybody in baseball. I understand our football print. I understand that we have a bunch of amazing sports with a bunch of amazing coaches. Bruce Pearl is is the man.
Sure.
Final Four, how much fun is that for all of us that love Auburn to see that? I want to feel like Auburn's second to none in everything that we do. And I want Auburn baseball. I'm so passionate about it that I want to see that matched by everybody and see us care. And what do we want Auburn baseball to continue to look at? I just keep saying, come join us, keep helping us. The park now is running into 20 years, 20-plus years of age, you know. And you just look at what all the commitment's been in the Southeastern Conference. All 14 schools that play baseball in the Southeastern Conference have made a commitment to baseball. They're all in on baseball. It was not that way in 2000. So in the last decade and a half, two decades, everybody's decided to go for the baseball piece. Kentucky's new ballpark. Florida's got one coming online being built right now. Mississippi State's, Arkansas last week announced a $27 million player development piece. I like our park, and here's what I'm convicted on. I'm not trying to be anybody else or necessarily try to keep up with anybody else, but what do we, not what we want, what do we need for our players to continue developing at a rate the same as everybody else? That's what I want help with. I want help with somebody telling me, what do we need to continue? Because this facility we have right now, it just finished in the Final Eight. You know, if we could catch another ball or two, we might have won the national championship. That's what I think. We're in both games. We played great in front of that crowd. We did it for 8 2/3 the first night. After sitting there a night after a rain inning, we come back and we played solid baseball and had the time run at the plate in the ninth inning to end the ball game. So I'm more interested in what we need. I have not been out here raising I've not been beating any drums saying, you know, we need a $70 million stadium. That's not my style. But I want us to be second to none. I want us to embrace baseball. And that'll be a neat question that we're probably in the middle of answering right now. How good do we want to sustain? How good do we want to be for the long term of Auburn baseball? And this is neat. That's my job, is to try to create that question for everybody that loves Auburn.
It's a good answer there. We got Auburn baseball coach Butch Thompson joining us here on Sports Call today. We got about 3 minutes left in the hour with Coach Thompson. He's been so gracious with his time. We've got a couple of rapid-fire questions, and one of these is something that I've always been wanting to ask you, Coach. I can't find the answer anywhere. Why do you wear jersey number 30? What is it about that number? Why 30?
You want honesty, right?
Yes.
It's 26 is my number because that was my dad's birthday, February 26. I gave it up because a player wanted my number.
Okay.
And 30 was available, and in all honesty, it was the only one that fit. So the single digits get a little tight when you get mid-40s, and I love to eat. So 26 is probably my honest number, and okay. I've held on to it. I was actually 47 at Georgia.
Okay.
So back in 2003 and 4, and of course, I'm not even thinking. That's Glavin's number, and of course, we got a recruit from Kentucky that loves Tom Glavin. That's how I talked him into coming to Georgia, so I had to give him my 47. So, all right, I'll go my dad's birthday, and then at the end of the day, somebody wanted 26. And, hey, we'll do anything to get a player within reason, right?
So, sure.
That's the honest answer of why I'm number 30.
What, if any, do you have as far as baseball superstitions? I know baseball players can be very superstitious, lucky socks or just an arm sleeve, something. Do you have
Don't ever step on
lucky?
The baseline.
Yeah, don't step on the baseline, absolutely.
I got a bad knee. I have trouble getting over these baselines now, so that's definitely not one of them. I'll start eating the same thing. When I was in playing American Legion baseball, it used to be so big when I was growing up, it was American Legion baseball. Now the travel ball and everything's taken over. And again, most of my things are associated with food. When I'm in a good mood or we have a big win, I eat to celebrate. And sometimes when we lose, I eat to make myself feel better. So I'm a loser either way. But I hit a grand slam. I can't remember what year we're talking about 88, 89. Hit a grand slam, and I just remember I went to Wendy's. And so I got the Frosty. And I'm like, well, it's probably the Frosty. So the next day before the next game, I stop by the same Wendy's, and I get my Frosty again. And lo and behold, I hit another grand slam.
Oh, wow.
So this is – I haven't kept a lot of them, but the Frosty thing I'll never forget because
– That's awesome.
The rest of the summer, I never hit another grand slam, and I gained about 13 pounds because I had a Frosty before every game. And then, you know, the fans were kind of tweeting at me and giving me a rough time, like, what's the deal in the postseason with the camo hats? Because, we didn't wear them that much. It's right. Our military appreciation hat. And everybody's like, it's because you started winning at Georgia Tech. But that was Rod Bramlett's favorite hat.
Sure.
Okay.
And, you know, I wish we'd have played for a national championship with that hat on. But that was our commitment there in the postseason when everybody was asking me about, because I know people are sitting in their cars right now or listening to this. What about that camo hat? There was some superstition. That was Rod's favorite hat, and that was just another way for us to honor him.
Coach, and finally for you, back in those playing days that you mentioned, what would be your scouting report from the Butch Thompson playing days if someone was scouting against you?
Well, if you could throw over 85 miles per hour, I couldn't catch up to it. I love for you to throw me the big breaking ball or something slower. I could finally get my bat in position. I was a good little first baseman. I was a good, solid guy. I was always captain of my team, so I was never the best player on any team I was ever a part of, but I was captain of my high school football team. I was a captain of my junior college team. I was a captain at Birmingham Southern. That was always my thing, was just trying to, you know, make everybody around me better, and that was kind of my tool.
Well, Coach, we really do appreciate you taking time to come and hang out with us today. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks for doing this.
Enjoy the War Eagle, man.